Okay, so we're at Mission Zion. Okay, so the last thing we did last time was we did this Mishnah and we did the first part of the Mishnah. Harchik Mishachin Ra. Okay, so so that was the first thing, right? That we said there that it's an identification. You identify with your neighbors. So therefore, if a person has a bad neighbor, he's naturally going to identify with him, and he will pick up his evil traits. Okay, even though a guy could say, "I'm not, I'm just living next to the guy, but I'm not really, I don't have anything to do with the guy." Doesn't matter. They say once you live in a place, you start to identify with those people. A guy goes to Europe and he finds out that another guy is looking for somebody and he finds out somebody lives in New York. He goes, "Oh, you're from New York." But if you saw him in New York, you wouldn't even know him from Adam. But it shows you that even though he doesn't know it, he is identifying. That's why when he goes to a foreign place, he's so happy that he meets a guy from New York, even though he never saw the guy in his life. So it's a natural identification. Okay.
I think there's a reason why it says in the negative. Why don't I say Takari Pula Shafei Tov?
That's a good question. Right. She go to a Shafei Tov. Why does it say in the negative? Being negative, the negative. I mean, tell me the positive.
Right.
It's good. It's a good point. It's a good point. Why did the Mishnah say if there's identification, it could have said in the positive that you should be join yourself with pick a neighbor that's a Shachin Tov, find a guy that's a good guy to live next to. Why did it tell you in the negative to keep away from a bad guy?
Maybe he's a neutral neighbor. Just don't do the bad. Good is up to you. Don't do the good. Neutral better.
Okay. That's good.
I mean, also to say do good is, in a sense, it's always a little like above and beyond, you know? But bad is something you shouldn't do. Like, good is something that's,
okay,
we want you to do.
Right. But that's already up to you, I mean. Okay. Right. Think about it. Good approach. Good approach. It's a good approach. Okay. But now the mission says, I guess, another negative on that point. Right? Another negative. The altischaber l'rasha. Don't join. Don't befriend the rasha. Okay? It doesn't tell you befriend the tzaddik. It tells you don't befriend the rasha. Okay, so what is the advice? What kind of advice is this? Okay, so take a look at the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam says it means b'min echad mimine ha'ava v'hachevra. It means don't join him in a. It's talking about a friendship. You want to be a nice guy, whatever, friendly guy. He's a good guy to have as a friend. Okay? So, the Rambam says, why not? Which really means that there's a reason to say that there's a reasonable argument to say that there's nothing wrong with being the guy's friend. Right? In other words, I can have a guy who I'm friendly with. It doesn't mean that I share his philosophy. Right? In other words, let's say you have a guy that you go to a ball game with. He enjoys, he's a friendship for certain things. Doesn't mean you can't associate, right? You'd say, this guy, I share some common interest with. This guy's not necessarily, doesn't have the same views as me. You know what I mean? Why should I have to limit myself to a guy that just has the exact same views as me, or that I feel is the right philosophy, or the right value system, or the right lifestyle? Listen, I'm not judgmental, and that's it. You know, guy's a nice guy. Okay? So the Rambam says that you shouldn't do that. Why? Rambam says, Kadei shelo tilmod mimaisav. You shouldn't learn from his actions. Okay.
You don't understand from b'min echad, b'min e'av. I just don't understand how you translate that. Any kind of friendship at all?
I wasn't sure. I mean, I don't know. When I looked at it, I wasn't sure exactly what he means, but I figured that's the only thing it can mean. In other words, unless you have a better idea, because he says, Al tischaber l'rasha b'min echad mimine ha'ava. That's a strange, I don't know, it's a strange expression to me, but I assume what he means is, because what does tischaber mean? That I shouldn't join with the Rasha. Join in what way? So I think he's saying, in a friendship, the type of joining that is utilized in a friendship.
But you're saying that like any kind of any kind of affinity in any kind of situation, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it would seem from here he's saying don't join with him for friendship.
Oh, as opposed to, let's say he's the guy you go to the ball game with, like you said.
No, that's like a friendship. I mean, that's somebody I enjoy. It's for enjoyment. Why am I associating with him for enjoyment?
Uh-huh.
I think that's what he means, which would seem to indicate, now that you bring that up, it seemed to indicate, what's he excluding? I mean, maybe he's excluding if I associate with this person for a practical purpose.
Right, he's a co-worker.
Co-worker, yeah. Exactly. I mean, I didn't think about it, but I guess that's why the Rambam is putting that in there. Because you would think that any a connection with a Rasha is not good. And the Rambam is saying, no. It's talking about a friendship. But really, if you're associating with the person because he's a co-worker, this would not apply. I mean, and that's a question. Why is it only if you're telling me that I'm going to learn from the guy and therefore I shouldn't associate with him? So then even in a practical association, maybe I shouldn't have that. If I have a gardener and he's a Rasha, I shouldn't get the guy to be my gardener because I'm associating with him. There's going to be an interaction. It seems the Rambam is excluding those cases. And he's saying it's talking about an interaction of friendship. Okay, so that we have to understand also. Why wouldn't it be any interaction? So I guess that's one question, and then the Rambam says, but there's a reason for this. The reason is because you'll learn from him, right? And the Rambam says that what is it mean? Kuvar be'arna beprakim hakodman ki yilmad adam mehapechisuyos bechevras harashayim. Okay, because a person learns from the bad qualities, okay, the inferior qualities, bechever harashayim, bechevras harashayim, with the chevra, the friend of a rasha, okay. In other words, having a friend as a rasha, you'll learn from his bad qualities.
Companionship, is that the word?
Companionship, yes.
Bad company.
Yes, bad company.
You can ask the Shlomo's question again. Like, why would he not learn his good qualities?
That's
like
true.
He might be a Rasha, but let's say he gives tzedakah. I don't know.
Right.
So why don't you say you learned that?
Why don't you say, right, that's true.
Right.
What about if the guy has good qualities? So I could learn those too?
Well, obviously, the guy's a bad guy. It's obviously, there aren't really many of these qualities. See,
okay.
We're, you know.
Right, there are not many of those qualities.
The other qualities are the poor ones.
Okay. Okay, but let's say he does have good qualities. Let's say he has good qualities. I mean, a person could be a Russian and have good qualities. That would be a question. Could you have a Russian? But let's just assume for the time being that a person could be a Russia, right? Could have a bad way of life, but may have good qualities, some good qualities.
Unless you're going to pick apart what kind of things you'll learn. If we're just going on the assumption that you're going to learn from a person that you're friends with.
Right.
So the truth is, the person may have good qualities, but overall, they have bad qualities.
Right. So you're saying, chances are...
You're going to be a negative influence on you.
It's going to be a negative, because If he has 51% background, it's 49, and you're just picking up everything, so it's a net loss.
Net loss.
Okay. But, I mean, I'm just saying, okay, but it is a question. What about the good qualities? Okay? Okay, right? So we have the three issues here, right? One issue is, why is the Rambam isolating the case of friendship? What about other associations, practical associations, right? Number two, what about if you could learn good qualities from him? That's also a possibility, right? And number three, the other question is, why do I say that I must learn from a guy? Why can't I be a friend, have a friendship for a certain thing, to go to ball games? That's what we do. But why is it that I'm going to definitely learn from him? No, maybe I know the guy's, you know, he's not religious, he's not this, he's not that. You know, he doesn't share my way of life or my values. But I enjoy doing something with the guy. Right? Why is that a necessary corollary? You could say I'm in danger of learning from somebody. Okay. Yeah.
So I guess maybe with a friend... there's a certain level of respect that you have for that person, right? Like, this is your friend because you like him and you respect him as a person. And then when you start respecting him as a person, you see his actions and you try to justify his actions,
right?
And they become legitimate in your eyes.
Okay.
Like, oh, he's my friend. How can he be doing that? He must be doing it. It must be right, or something like that.
Right.
So then he takes those actions and he might emulate those actions.
Okay, good.
So that would lead him to just follow the path of the Rasha.
Good. Okay, very good. Okay. Is that good? Everybody agree? Disagree?
I agree with that.
You agree? Aaron?
Give me a sec.
Give me a sec. We'll come back to you.
I mean, I think that maybe the term you're also looking for is identification. I think that's the...
You identify with the guy?
That's the process, I think.
Okay.
So you're going to, like, see not exactly a mirror of yourself, but, right, it's hard when you befriend someone, you identify with them, it's hard to see, you know, he's bad, but I also identify with him. It's hard to maintain that, I think.
Right. Okay, right. I mean, that would be good also. That would actually be an answer to, well, I don't know whose question it is, but whatever. In other words, why you say you don't learn the good qualities. I forgot what I was going to say. One second. Why you only pick up the bad qualities. Because you're saying that you can't differentiate anymore. You're non-discriminating. You know? You're not discriminating because if you identify with him, right? What did you say? When you identify with him...
You can't have, I guess, coexisting, like, identify with him, like he's like a mirror of me in some kind of way, and he's also bad.
And pick up the bad, right.
Like,
you're not going to pick up the bad, right.
Bad.
So you're not going to really discriminate. So, in other words, everything is going to appear good to you,
right?
Because you're not going to discriminate. So therefore, it wouldn't be a good idea, because, yeah, you may pick up a good quality, but then that would be accidental, because you can't really discern. Because everything in him is going to appear in a positive light, right? So then if you pick up a good quality, you're just putting yourself in danger, really. Because there's no way to discriminate anymore. Okay, good. That's true. Right? What do you say? Okay. So, Aaron, what were you?
Yeah, well, I just lost the good word I just had. But I think, I mean, I like the point. I think, I mean, you have to, like, legitimize... you know, kind of person's actions, and it happens with a friend as opposed to other people. You said the friend, what was the word? Got the word, but like with a friend, I guess there's a certain like trust, not just trust, but like you say this person is kind of worthy in a sense. They make you know, the fair judgment in a sense,
right?
You know,
right.
But. So I guess when they do something, you're going to have, like, even if it seems kind of strange to you, you're going to have to kind of find...
Justify.
Kind of, yeah, you have to legitimize it somehow.
Legitimize, yeah.
And that kind of is going to distort your view of things.
Right. That's true. Okay, I mean, I think that's correct. In other words, there's a psychological, it's not really a logical thing. Okay, I left $2 there. I left $2.
Travis.
Yeah, Travis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. Okay. Have a good Travis.
Good
Travis.
Good Travis.
It's not a logical thing, it's a psychological thing. In other words, the psychological mechanism is that anything, any person or object that a person receives enjoyment from, that there's a psychological gain from, enjoyment or pleasure, you see, there's a mechanism that the person has to overestimate that thing, has to assign to that thing certain positive qualities and a value. He cannot, once he gets an enjoyment from a thing, he assigns to that thing a positive value, and he overestimates the worth of that thing. And he raises that thing that gave him an enjoyment to a high level where it is not. He can no longer see it as it is. But he changes it in his mind. He raises that thing to a certain level. And he can't view the thing in a negative light. That's a psychological thing. You see, that once a person has an attachment to or gains an enjoyment from something, that thing he cannot view in a negative light. He has to assign a positive value to that thing. And there's actually, Joey, it's funny, the Gemara you showed me a Gemara that exactly says this exact thing. Okay? You see another Gemara you showed me?
Yeah,
that's exactly what the Gemara was saying.
Yeah, it was just saying.
So the Gemara's in Sota. And it says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says...
Garbage
right here. He's
going
to jump. I mean, feel so bad.
Come on,
throw my
tissue.
You know,
don't
clean up a little bit.
It was
Mem Zion. That's what I thought it was.
Mem Zion
Aleph, right?
Oh, same.
What's right?
Oh, yeah, here. It says like this. Just a second. Yeah, here it is. Amar of Yochanan. Shlosha chenos heim. There are three chenos. Three favor, however you want to translate it, favorable. Things that are looked in a favorable light. Okay? Chein makom al yoshvav, chein isha al baila, chein mekach al lokcho. Okay? So the first one is the chein, the way a person looks at his makom where he lives. Okay? So Rashi says, chein makom al yoshvav. Rashi says, afilu hu ra. Even if a guy lives in a bad place, a bad house, miserable dwelling, near Lehem Tov, it will look to him as good.
Look
good. And as the other guy walk by the house, go, oh, God, and this guy, hey, we're here. So it's an amazing thing. Now, if the guy didn't live there, he'd look at it exactly where the other guy does. You see? So what happened? Well, why the fact that he lives there? Why does that change his perception? But the answer is that it's a psychological mechanism that if you have a thing that you're attached to, you must look at it differently. Now, it doesn't really make logical sense because really, if I have a thing I get enjoyment from, I'm receiving enjoyment from that thing. Why do I have to now assign a certain value to that thing? Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't change. It doesn't increase the enjoyment. It doesn't lessen the enjoyment. but it's a psychological mechanism that now the object in your mind must be assigned with a certain higher value. Okay? Yeah.
Can you repeat what the three things are?
Your house, your wife, and things you bought.
Or break.
Or is that? See, it's very interesting.
I'm going to brew a kite. Propose one quick suggestion.
Yeah.
Is it possible that maybe these are three things that a person sees that they reflect on him? Say they reflect back on him. So
see this? Yeah.
So since he knows that, he's going to have to say that, you know, now if he knows he's moving to a house that, you know, before he was making fun of, since this reflects back on him, that's an unacceptable thing for him to, you know, see himself in that, to, you know, have a bad image of himself based on his house. So now he's got to distort the view of the house.
That definitely contributes to it, that the house is a reflection on him.
Right.
But it's not just that. It doesn't start there. It really is that when a person gets an enjoyment and has an attachment to a thing, he wants that thing to be something like permanent or something that has lasting value. Because a person wants his enjoyments to be endless. He wants to feel a security in the enjoyment and that the enjoyment will continue. Part of the security is that thing is an unbelievable thing. He assigns a value to that thing. It's true. It's also what you're saying is also the case. It's a reflection on him. You see? It is a reflection on him.
Oh, okay.
It's a reflection on him, but that plays a role. But it's not only that. Okay? It's not only that. So then, and that's the thing. Yeah.
Sorry, would you mind? I didn't get the point.
The point is that when a person gets and attaches enjoyment to an object, when he forms an attachment to something that he gains an enjoyment or a benefit from, what happens is the next step is that in his mind he raises that thing to a higher level. He overestimates the value of that thing.
So anything you like, you're never going to have an objective assessment of?
That's right, exactly. That's exactly right. That's why it says your house, right, that's the place. Your wife is a person, and a thing you buy is a thing. Now, there's only three things in the world. I mean, this I remember from sixth grade English. What is a noun? How do you define a noun?
Person, place,
a thing. Now, take a look. He's got it right in here. Person, wife, place, and thing. It means that any attachment you make in the physical world has to fit into one of those three categories. You see? Yes.
Oh, the stretching, I think.
yeah.
But, I mean, so does this mean, I mean, we do say we view things that we like, you know, objectively, you know. I don't think we say your judgment of anything you like is skewed, necessarily.
Well, Rabbi Yochanan.
So I'm saying, is this going to force us to say that the person is not? Let's see. So maybe there's a difference. Like, let's say I don't know, okay, a good example. Let's say a TV you have at home, right? So I'm going to say this is a good TV. So does that mean, in order for me to view this thing objectively, I'm going to say my outlook on it is going to be, well, this thing to me is a tool, okay? And insofar as it's a tool, here's where it strong suits, and here's where it falls short.
Okay, so you're asking a good question. You're asking like this. You're saying, if we are saying that any object that I become attached to, I now form a false opinion of, and I can't be objective about the object because now I overestimate it. So how can a person be objective? So anything in life, guy's not going to be objective because anything that involves him, right, a friend, a wife, his house, anything in the physical world that involves him, that he has some kind of connection with, he immediately now overestimates the thing, creates a false image of the thing, and now he can't be objective. So then how can a person ever function objectively? Because he's inherently a subjective being that distorts reality automatically. As soon as he comes in contact with reality, next thing he does is distort it. So how can a person ever live rationally? That's basically your question, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? I mean, right? Because you're saying, are we saying this about everything? You mean there's nothing a person can be objective about? Yeah, I can be objective about your thing. Good.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just wondering also, is this a statement that is a person like has to do this?
Has to.
Or a person, or people tend to do this? In other words, like.
The way we're saying it.
Is this a statement that like it's impossible not to do this?
Psychological mechanism. That's what we're saying is it's a psychological mechanism. That the moment I become attached, emotionally attached to a thing, now I have to change the picture of that thing in my mind, raise it to a higher level.
So
now if it's a psychological mechanism, so then it's going to happen.
Maybe you can get out of it by detaching.
So now if I detach myself, so now I won't have it. Yes, but
right.
now it's going to come out. Anything that I'm attached to, I can't be objective about. So therefore, now a guy has to make a decision about his wife, or about his house, or about any object he bought. Forget it. He has a distorted picture of that thing. He can never make a decision.
That doesn't take away rationality. The way the Gemara says it, it's once you already have it.
Right.
But before you have it.
Okay.
Even
let's
once you have it, if you want to be rational about it, then you have to seriously consider not having it. And once you put that in, then you can be rational about it.
Okay.
It's only if you're determined to be attached to it, then of course it'll be distorted.
Okay.
But if you allow yourself
to break the attachment,
right,
then you can remove the distortion.
Right.
But insofar as you're attached, you're going to have the distortion. Okay. Go ahead.
What was getting you to suggest this psychological mechanism?
Picking of us.
I'm saying, did they?
And the Gemara. Because we had to interpret the Pirkei Avos, right? Now, what did the Pirkei Avos say? It said, don't have a friend who has bad character, right? Okay, even if you just want to be a friend with him to go to a baseball game, right? So the Rambam says, why? The Rambam says, because a person learns from the bad qualities of his chaver, of his friend. Okay, so now we say, well, why? What do you mean? That's not logical. In other words, he's my friend, fine, but now he has bad qualities. Okay, what does that have to do with me enjoying being with him? I'm not emulating him. So we said, no, there must be a psychological mechanism where if I enjoy a person, I like the person, then now I have to come in and do a new thing and change his my picture of him. Say he's a good person. I can't like a person that's a bad person. So now since I like him, I have to say he's a good person. Oh, now he's a good person. I'm going to learn from his qualities. Right? So we said that's a psychological mechanism.
Well, why are we saying? So there's going to be something happening there. We don't know what yet. But the phenomenon is that you will definitely be influenced by a bad friend.
You will say he's good.
Right.
Because why should you be influenced? Only because you say he's good. If he's your
right.
friend, you say, oh, he must be good.
There's something happening there that's going to change your view of what's good and
evil.
That's
right,
bad.
Exactly.
Right.
Good and evil. You change your view of good and evil.
Right. So that's the phenomenon. That's the phenomenon we have to explain.
No, so that's it. So then I can never be objective.
Why would we generalize this to anything, any object?
Well, because the question is, why does it happen with a friend, right? So we say it happens with a friend because you have an attachment and you gain an enjoyment from him, right? So we say when you have an attachment to the person, then you can't be attached to a thing and say, this is a horrible thing that I'm attached to. You can't do that. Psychologically, it's like a dichotomy. So therefore, if that's the case, it should apply to anything. Just not why. A friend is just a particular. But let's say I have a car. Could I say, oh, I have this car. I just bought it. I spent money on it. I really looked all over. But it's a piece of garbage. No, you're going to say, wow, it's a great car. That's the next sentence that comes out of your mouth. Or my house. Oh. Guy says, that's a crappy house. Naturally, you're going to be insulted. Why insulted? What? Who cares if it's a bad house? It provides you a shelter. Right? So apparently, when you get attached to a thing and you gain a psychological satisfaction from it, you must think of it as good. You must place value on it. And that's what the Gemara Sota says. That a guy's married to a wife. Then Rashi said with a wife. He says, let's say you have a wife. Chein Aisha. Tamid al Baila. You see, that's an amazing thing. Rashi says, Tamid. It is constant. The view of her is constant, unchanging. He says, V'afilu hi mechueras. No seis chein beinov. Even if she's unsightly. A person will walk down the street, look at her, not going to evoke too much chayim. But him, it's tamid. See, it's tamid. It's never, it is a constant. That shows it's a powerful force in the mind that is cannot be so easily removed. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, every groom always thinks, like, at their wedding, like, that their bride is the beautiful bride.
That's it. Right? So now the question is, if that's the case, and then you say a person is inherently unobjective. I mean, that doesn't, we don't, what do we do with that? That's not good, yeah.
I'm not sure if this is a tangent, but is there a reason, it seems to have left out another area, which is like ideas or philosophy.
Right.
So does it not apply? I think you do find that people overvalue their own philosophy or their own ideas.
That's a very good question.
You didn't include that.
That's a very good question.
That's
a good question. Why is he saying three things? I mean, that's an excellent question. In other words, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, there are three things that a person has chayin for, right? An unjustified estimation, right? Only three things. You place, people, and things. What about ideas?
Presumably someone who's coming up with ideas.
Yeah, then another guy will look at it and say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. And this guy's going, oh,
right.
You love this. This is a great idea. This is fantastic.
Well,
right?
Well, part of engaging in ideas is being open to your idea not being perfect.
Right. Right?
Like, your idea is not necessarily the final word. When someone comes along and says something that seems more truthful or make more sense, an open-minded individual would accept that idea.
That's right.
That's honest. That's a very honest approach. But I mean, you definitely find that people like have their ideas and they're
maybe that's not a
real
idea.
Huh?
Maybe that's not like if you're not open to having it, you know, I don't know what the word is, ripped apart or have people, you know, comment on it.
Proven wrong.
Proven. There we go, Sammy. Thank you.
You can still call it like a philosophy. I mean. So
yeah,
it might not be a good idea, but I don't think.
But your question is actually a little different, right? You're not only saying that there are people that become attached to ideas, and why didn't he include it in there? But what your question is, why isn't it? Why isn't that a phenomenon? In other words, if you're telling me anything that I relate to and receive pleasure and become attached to, I have to, now this mechanism comes in and over-evaluates it, right? So why doesn't that exist by ideas? Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, why did he only give three, the physical world, he should have said it, videos! And deos that a person adopts, ideas that he adopts, he also becomes attached to. Why didn't he give that case?
I was asking, it seems to me like they do. So that's why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan include
it? Right. Why doesn't he include it? And if he doesn't think so, why doesn't he think so? Why shouldn't that be included?
It
right?
seems to me if you look around, people do that.
They do that. Okay, so Avi's saying, yeah, they do that, but those aren't real thinkers. Okay, fine. Let's say we say that way. Those aren't real thinkers because they're not really objective. Okay. But still in all, let's just go a little further and say, okay, they're not real thinkers, but what about the real thinkers, right? So the real thinkers, they love ideas, right? And they gain satisfaction from ideas. So why aren't they subject to this mechanism? Do they have to fight this mechanism? In other words, in order to be objective, do they have to fight this mechanism, but it's really happening in them? Or no, it's just not happening. Now, if it is happening, then certainly Rabbi Yochanan should have mentioned that to the people that are real thinkers, you should also be wary that you'll have a chayin. That's a chayin also. You see, that you'll always like your own idea. But he doesn't seem to mention that. The question is, why not?
We came up another context, the other mission about learning. I say the Harabi Kuni, the Chachaber.
That's right.
Does that? It sounds like it's a. Phenomenally, it happens.
It happens.
Different type of thing.
Different type of thing, right. Okay, so the question is, what's the difference? And why didn't Rabbi Yochanan, if he's listening, shalosh chenos, there should be four chenos. A chen for an idea. Right, so what's the answer?
It's not a chain.
Yeah.
So, like the other Mishnah told us that if you want to be a thinker, you have to be open.
Right.
I mean, for these purposes, reduce it to that. So if you, and then you're a thinker.
Then you're a thinker, right? But what about but what about the psychological mechanism that we say always happens? That it's not an intended thing. It's a what do you call it? Involuntary. It's an involuntary thing. The mind immediately does it. The guy doesn't think when he has a friend. He doesn't say, okay, now he's my friend, I better think highly of him. No, it's just an implicit thing. All of a sudden he notices he thinks highly of him, which means it's implicit. It's an automatic thing. It's not intentional. It's not premeditated. It's automatic. That's why it's so dangerous. So why don't you have that by ideas? But yet you see thinkers don't. They're happy. Oh, wow, you showed me that. That's an amazing thing. Okay, you showed me my ideas wrong. A guy who's a real thinker is happy to see the fault in his ideas. It doesn't seem there's an inkling of chen. Now, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, he has a psyche also. Why shouldn't there be an inkling of chen?
I don't know if this is a good distinction. I didn't really think about that much of it. What is the difference if somebody that you've like invested something in, like it's a different kind of investment when you, let's say, certainly like two extremes would be you've actually like laid out money, let's say you buy a thing, right? Like clearly like you've invested something.
It's because you love the money.
Yeah?
You
right.
love the money, right?
Okay, yeah. But
okay.
I'm saying maybe it's different than idea. I mean, people
right.
definitely, I think, are, you know, entrenched in their ideas,
right?
Maybe it's a different kind of it's not the same kind of investment. You didn't like lose the money; you just bought something, you used it; it was no good.
Right.
Like you're stuck. Like I can't get back the money. Let's say.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe there's a difference in.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I mean that's a secondary kind of a thing. You know what I mean? We're saying it's an inherent mechanism, an automatic mechanism. It's not premeditated. Hey, one second, I lost the money. I better. Like this thing because now I'm going to be a fool because I lost the money. It's you know what I mean. It's a spontaneous thing that occurs without you knowing it. You know what I mean. So it's an automatic process that you over evaluate the thing. So why not with the idea? Yeah.
Because the chen is when you identify yourself with that thing. That's something else, right? But what you're identifying is yourself with that thing. Yourself. Is mainly your ideas.
Right.
So you're not identifying yourself with your ideas. Your ideas are yourself. So it might be a different problem. You might have an identity crisis or whatever if you don't really know what to think. Or,
right.
But if you're a real thinker, that won't bother you because then what yourself is, you're a thinker. So then any new idea is part of who you are.
Right.
But you're not trying to like identify with the thought. It's not something external that you're... that you're trying to identify with.
You see, based on that argument, I would say the reverse, because I would say if it's a question of an egoistic thing, identification, right, and a reflection on me, you see, I'd say the idea should be more, a guy should be more tenacious about his idea, because the house, okay, a house is a crappy house, but my ideas, that's me, you're attacking me now. You know what I mean? So I would say on those grounds, if it's an egoistic thing, I would say the idea should have more chain. Okay? Which I'm happy you brought that point up. Yeah, what? A thinker what? You're saying a true thinker, but you see, again, we're not talking about rationality. We're talking about the emotional response to things. You know what I mean? So you have to forget, he's a true thinker, fine. But now we're dealing with the part of him that's psychological, not the logical part.
Right. So a guy who's a thinker, his emotional enjoyment comes, or his the way he wants to be viewed or whatever he's identifying with, is an honest thinker. So he'd rather
okay,
be taken,
I mean,
as an honest thinker.
That's possible.
Than
right. So his ego is attached to being an honest thinker. So therefore, he wants to give up. If you break him down, he'll immediately give up because he gets the satisfaction out of being an honest thinker.
Right.
Okay, but that's true. That's true. So kids like that, you're right. But what about a guy that, you know, enjoys thinking, but also likes to be right once in a while, you know, psychologically, right? So what about a guy like that? So I would say like this. So this shows you chen is not an egoistic thing. When he says chen, that's precisely the point. He's not saying because it reflects on me. These things reflect on me. Because then ideas would certainly be chen. A guy would want his ideas to be right. Chen doesn't mean because it's about me. Chen means, what he's saying is, when you have a thing you love, you see, you become, that thing becomes the important thing to you. You give up your own egoistic thing, and you just, all of your energy centers around that thing. So you build that thing up. That's the thing where your energy is going. You must build it up, you see. But the reason why it doesn't happen with ideas is because it's primarily an instinctual thing. You see, it's an instinctual thing. And what happens is the instincts attach. In this way, they attach to a physical, to a particular physical object. That's where this mechanism lends itself, where you have a particular physical object that I love. That thing, I don't want to lose that thing. I don't have a love for the physical world in general. I have a love for that thing. I don't want to lose that thing. I want to imbue that thing with unbelievable qualities because that's the thing I love. A person that's into thinking, you see, it's not he loves that thing. He loves ideas. He loves ideas, you see. So it's not subject to this kind of mechanism, to take an idea and view it as something it's not. It doesn't make any sense. His enjoyment is not from the particular idea. It's from knowledge, you see. So this mechanism doesn't lend itself to that type of thing. In the physical world, the enjoyment is not from the world. It's from particulars. It's this particular car. The fact that guy has a nice car, it's not mine. I have no relationship to it, you see. So that's why in the physical world, that's why it's only something physical that this mechanism could apply to. You see, because in the physical, the energy is always attached to particulars. So then you have to overestimate the particular, you see. But in thinking, it's not the particular. A person enjoys thought, you see. He doesn't care. There's no idea this is my thought, that's your thought. What do you mean? Thought belongs to everybody. You see? So you can't have this type of thing. You understand what I mean? Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure I'm understanding what you're saying, but just to clarify, can a guy be hung up only thinking about math, let's say? Is that something that's similar to a particular? And I'm not really sure what you mean, that doesn't apply to particulars and ideas.
Can I just answer this question? Because you see people, we're not only talking about thinkers, but let's say someone like politics. People get into a certain political view or whatever, and they're vehement about it.
That's a different kind of thing. That's an egoistic thing. That's an egoistic thing. That's an egotistical. That's an egoistic thing that he wants to be right. See, he wants to be right. There, what he's doing is he's overvaluing himself. The reason why a guy has views that he sticks to is he is overvaluing something. There is chen, but where is the object of the chen? The self. You see, in those cases, the chen is a person. It's him. You see, but there's no such thing as chen for an idea. You can't have chen for an idea. That's impossible. There has to be chen for an object. He is an object. He can have chen for himself. So if I'm fixed to an idea and I say, that's an unbelievable idea, it's not the idea. It's really, I'm fixed to myself. I'm over-evaluating myself.
Well, isn't he over-evaluating the idea? I mean, I would say that he's fixed on the idea, and he's overvaluing the idea, but it just happens to be it's because it's his idea. Not that he's...
But that's because he's overvaluing himself.
You know, wouldn't you say the same thing about a physical thing?
You can.
That I'm overvaluing this car because I like cars, and if I didn't overvaluate this car, then
that would go against the fact that I like cars.
So really, it's just about me. It's just giving credence to my view about cars.
You see, that's not the case, because let's say a person loves a thing. He'll sacrifice for that thing.
Right, but isn't that because he loves
himself?
The fact that he loves it?
No, it's the exact opposite, because the reason why people could make attachments to objects is because he's able to remove his energy from himself. He's able to take his interests off of the self and onto somebody else. You see, if I love another person, or I'm friends with another person, I'll do anything for that other person, I'm giving up from the self. A person that's purely selfish can't do that.
Why is he doing that, though? Why is he giving up for another person? Isn't that because of himself?
It may be ultimately because of itself, but what it's saying is that psychologically, the person is able to set up things. Now, ultimately, yes, he gains satisfaction from it. But where is the satisfaction coming from? He's able to set up things outside of himself. Okay? And once he sets those things up and he attaches certain enjoyments to those things, now those things take on a certain independent significance. You see? And now he attaches to those things certain importance that don't exist.
Not by ideas. Don't you see like people who have like
because my idea would mean like this.
It's like,
would mean
like an animal rights activist. This is his life's view, and this gives him value and purpose. And
the same
thing
with
like a guy who collects cars and stuff like that.
That's true, but that's a different thing. That's him, really. I give you an example. Like, let's say, when you say chen for an idea, you'd mean, let's say, for instance, I learn a Tosfos, and I come up with a certain idea. I go, wow, that's a great idea, right? Okay, now chen for an idea would mean, I mean, do I wake up every morning and think, go back to that idea and say, hey, let me... That's it. I mean, you move on. There is no lasting... The idea doesn't remain a permanent fixed object in the mind. Like a person has a friend. Oh, let's go see the friend. Visit the friend. If the friend is something on his mind. You see, with ideas, it's not a particular idea that's on your mind. You wake up in the morning, you want to be involved in ideas. Yes, ideas in general is something that the mind fixes itself to, but not a particular. It's not a particular object.
No, that I agree with.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like with my example before about math or something like that. I'm just saying the particular area of thought. Could it do that? Could you value an area like math, or something like that, or
right.
I don't know, like the animal rights guy.
Is that
the same thing you're talking about, or is that just like the physical things?
If a person values math, loves as an enjoyment from math.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the area. He's like that area gives him. He loves that area.
Right, but then again, it won't be a particular math thing. It will be the ideas of math.
Right, so that's not what we're talking about.
That's right.
Again back to the general.
Yes, because he's not going to say this idea. Now let me just forget. Okay, now I got this idea. That's it. I'll stay with this idea for a few years.
Right.
There's no such thing like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Could we say a dogmatic religious thinker? So he's not, he's. Why does he think that the Pope is special or whatever? I don't know, because he's not like a political guy who gets so emotionally invested in his idea that he's thought about so much. This is what everyone does. So he won't budge. But then you can say that you just attach to that particular idea.
That's not chen. Chen means where I enjoy a thing and therefore I give it a certain value. That's what chen is. Chen is where I enjoy something. I have some object that is an enjoyable thing to me and therefore I distort it and I enhance it. That's what chen is. I mean,
the same thing. Nobody keeps nobody keeps that.
When a guy has a religious thing, it's he enjoys.
Of course, otherwise, if it was painful to him, he would reject it. But
the religious thing is a restrictive thing. It's something that he needs to restrict, counter his instincts. It's the exact opposite it's not a development of the enjoyment. The religion is something that opposes enjoyment. It's there to restrict him because he has elements that are seeking enjoyment.
Doesn't he want it?
That's a different part of his personality that wants it. It's not the chain part of his personality. See, it's the part of his personality that's the restrictive part. It's different.
I mean, why does he say that? When you say, in some way, I mean, if there are two options, either he wants it or he doesn't want it. If he wants it, then
you can't just look at his want or not want. He's giving you a specific phenomenon. And there's a lot of things going on in the mind. You know what I mean? A lot of ways the mind distorts reality, but not every way the mind distorts reality is equivalent. This is a specific distortion. The specific distortion that he's talking about is where you take a thing that I distort because of the enjoyment and because of the pleasurable attachment. That's the source of the distortion. That's all he's saying. That the source of distortion comes from the enjoyment. Okay? And when you enjoy a friend, you can't think of him as bad. And that's a distortion that the mind has to make in order to continue the enjoyment. Okay, now there could be a lot of distortions in the mind. He's talking about this specific type of distortion. So he's saying that's important to know the source of this over-evaluation, because if you don't know the source, and you just know I over-evaluate things, okay, but you have to know where this is coming from. He's saying this is where it's coming from. If you know where it's coming from, then you can be careful. Okay, so that's why he says, if you have a friend that has bad qualities, don't think that you're not going to assimilate those qualities. Psychologically, there's a powerful force to do it. Now, the only question is, Aaron asked a question. But if that's the case, so then everybody's subjective. It's impossible. How could a person ever do anything? Because any important decision always surrounds things that you have this attachment to, and you have this natural distortion. Okay? But the answer is, because what they're telling you is, this is only one part of your nature. This is the psychological, okay? But the reason why a person could be objective is because he has two parts to his nature. He has the psychological, and he has the logical. Now, the logical is not subject to this force. The logical, a person could say, this house is objectively a crappy house. I feel a certain sympathy for it, and I feel certain attachments, but I know logically that doesn't make any sense. You see? The two parts of the mind are not necessarily going side by side. So that's why a person has Bechira. He could say, I know I feel a certain type of feeling for this person, you see, but logically, I know that's totally crazy. You see? So he's able to view the person in two ways. So the Pirkei Avos is just telling you not that this is the only view that you can have of the person, and not that you can't be objective, but what they're telling you is you have a part of you that's operating, that's pulling you in that direction. So a rational person will take account of that and will say, one second, it's possible I could be friends with this person and not pick up those qualities, because I will be able to look at him objectively, you see, but that's not necessarily a rational move, you see, because the purpose of the friendship is really the emotional. So insofar as you look at it objectively, you're not going to really have the true friendship that you're looking for. So a person who's a rational person doesn't put himself in a situation where his Yetzer Hara will have the upper hand. It doesn't make sense. Like a person says, well, I could walk down a street with prostitutes walking around, and I'm going to look at it rationally. You could, but what you're doing is you're ignoring the force of the emotion, and the force of the emotion could overcome you. So the same thing here. They're saying that if you associate with a friend, it doesn't mean it's impossible to be objective. But if you were objective, you would say, this is a dangerous situation, I should avoid it. You see, that's the objective part of you comes in to tell you, this is what's going to happen. Therefore, I shouldn't do it. You see? But it doesn't mean a person can't be objective. But it does mean that a person could put himself in a situation where his objectivity is gone. That is possible. I could put myself in a situation where it is impossible for me to be objective. That is true. That's why the Pirkei Avos is telling you, this is a situation where you will lose, you may very well lose your objectivity, and therefore use your intellect at this point to avoid it. That's it. But that, I thought that Gemara Sota really is an unbelievable thing. It shows, you know, they because the person could recognize it sometimes. Okay, you know, you have a friend and you have to look at him. You know, you feel he's a good guy. You know, you become your opinion. You know, you become biased. You see, but he's really showing it's a universal. It's not just a friend. It could be even a thing. Anything that you form a psychological attachment to, where you gain an enjoyment from, immediately you overvalue the thing. You change its picture to increase the value of the thing. Even if it's so removed from reality where another person would say, this person is objectively unsightly or ugly, this guy will constantly look at her like the most beautiful person.
Yeah, Gemara definitely helped sharpen the idea. That's good.
Do you think the Gemara says makom means house, or it's really saying the same thing as hashmik mishachina? You identify with your place. You have a claim for your place.
It's not identification. You see, that's why he's giving a new idea. The first one is identification. This is not identification. This is a different mechanism. This is over evaluation of a love object. Over evaluating a thing. It's a different mechanism. Nothing to do really with identification is where he's me. You see? So then in that case, if I don't over evaluate myself, I shouldn't over evaluate him. Right? But this is a different mechanism. This is I love him or I love her. That's a different kind of thing. It may involve identification, but there is such a thing as an outside object that I am attached to. Not outside of myself. Identification surrounds the self. That I could only attach to myself, so therefore my only connection to you would be as if I could imagine you as myself. That's identification. But this is a different thing. There's also a mechanism in the mind where I'm able to appreciate and have affection and love an outside object, even though it's different than me. But over there, you have another problem that you must enhance the level of the object. That's a different danger. That's a different danger. And that's the danger here. See, that's why it's very good that he shows it's even an object. You know, I can say I identify with that object. I mean, what? I have a book. I identify with this book. I mean, what kind of identification? Not a person.
Yeah.
You see, but yet the person says, oh, this binds it. He's happy. He puts it in the shelf. Never reads it, but he's got it in the shelf. If somebody touches it, hey, get away from my book. See, it's not because he identifies with the book. That book is not him. You see? But he has an attachment. He loves that book. And therefore, if he loves that book, it has special qualities. Don't touch it. It's a different mechanism. The things coincide because everything that's in the mind contributes. But there's two totally different components. So you have to differentiate between the components.